time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. I like to start off the show with what I call happy news, good news. And the good and happy news for this week is that right now in the Diocese of La Crosse, two priests are completing their first week as priests. Anyone who's ever trained for a new job knows that feeling. Years ago, I trained to be a disc jockey, and all of a sudden, I found myself in Menominee, Wisconsin, with a 45 RPM record coming to the end. And when it was done, there was no one there to help me except me to turn on a microphone and do something without sounding foolish. All these years later, I'm still trying to turn on a microphone and not do something foolish. But the good news is that these priests, it isn't like they're pushed off the dock and they sink or swim. They have a network of people assisting them as they ease themselves into the many, many, many different duties of the priesthood. We've got some great ordination stuff coming up, so stick around. Back after this. According to a staff editorial in the Washington Post this week, the pandemic has reached a twilight zone. By that, the editors mean neither causing major disruption to the nation nor vanishing. Everyone's looking forward to a summer without masks or terrifying case spikes, they say. The government has dropped the requirement that international travelers test before entering the United States. We have vaccines, antivirals, diagnostic tests, all in surplus. So far, so good. But, they say, there is still a nagging uncertainty, one that is not trivial. The biggest unknown is whether new variants will evolve. Omicron is an example of how a mutation can deliver an unpleasant 1-2 punch, and it could happen again. On the radar, they say, is the question, how long will Omicron be around? A serious evolutionary change in the virus could pose a major challenge to everyone's plans. The virus is still spreading. For a couple of weeks, the recorded U.S. 7-day moving average of daily new cases has been hovering around 100,000. That's daily, and is probably much higher because of underreporting. The current levels are higher than during most of year one. The difference is now that there are diagnostics and vaccines and therapeutics to fight back, if you use them. Moreover, at this point, far more is known about viral transmission, such as the value of face masks and the importance of improved ventilation and filtration. What's happening, they say, appears to be the gradual transition from pandemic emergency to endemic predictability. Still, complacency is dangerous. Wearing face masks in crowded indoor spaces, including on mass transit, is, as they say, prudent. So are boosters. The bottleneck for at-home diagnostic tests has eased, and while the rapid antigen tests are not foolproof, frequent testing is a valuable tool to be alert to the possible infection. Do it all. That's your report for this week. This week, I want to bring you some excerpts from last week's ordination. Now, this is not going to be a transcription of it. That is to say, it is not something like it's put into an archive where nothing is edited out. For one thing, it's a longer service, longer mass afterwards, and basically, we wouldn't want to play the whole thing to you just verbatim. But what I wanted to do was to give you a sense of the feeling for this event. This is such a special event in the life of the church, in the life of the young men, in the life of their families. It is celebrated in so many different ways. You'll be hearing some music from the beginning of the service before it really starts, classical music. You'll be hearing some traditional songs that are sung. You'll be hearing chanting. You'll be hearing the bishop's comments. And you'll be hearing what he says to these young men. Now, normally, as he goes through this ceremony, he repeats some of the traditional wording because it is an ordination of two priests. And this in no way means any disrespect for the second priest. I'm hoping to give you an opportunity to catch the flavor of the solemnity and the joy of this magnificent event. This is something these two gentlemen and every priest who is ordained is deserving of. So let's start with a little bit of a musical prelude. Thank you. The music for an ordination is much more than something you would hear on an ordinary Sunday Mass. It is probably not topped except perhaps by Christmas or perhaps Easter Sunday. We've mentioned in the past on this show that this particular cathedral built in the early 1960s was designed from scratch for processions. There's a very wide aisle in the center of the cathedral with pews on both sides, of course. And this is used to great advantage during an ordination. There is a traditional hymn that is sung, and then as it is sung, there is a procession with our bishop, all of the priests of the diocese, the deacons, the knights and ladies of the Holy Sepulchre, and more. It is a really beautiful thing, and it does take actually quite some time for them to get down the long aisle and into position on both sides of the altar where they will be seated. So we're going to play just a bit of the music as you can imagine in your mind this beautiful procession at the cathedral.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to the Cathedral of St. Joseph the Workman. Welcome as we gather together to especially pray through the Eucharist and thank God for the gift of Jesus, and thank God for the way in which Jesus communicates himself to us, especially through the kindness, generosity, and love of his priests. So as we begin, let us call to mind our sins, and let us be thankful for the gift of God's love and mercy.
Again, you're listening to excerpts of the recent ordinations at St. Joseph the Workman Cathedral in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Some of the parts of the music with the brass choir, the huge organ, and also the people in the pew singing was so overwhelmingly sonic that it was very difficult to record. So we have had to cut back on some of that because the poor little microphones just couldn't handle it. It was one of those things where I guess you had to be there. But we're trying to give you as much of the flavor of the majesty of this event as possible. Let's continue. The readings are specially chosen and have a specific purpose for this event, which I'm sure you'll understand when you hear them. I'm going to play one after another.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God, to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness in place of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a listless spirit. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, since we have this ministry through the mercy shown us, we are not discouraged. Rather, we have renounced shameful hidden things, not acting deceitfully or falsifying the word of God, but by the open declaration of the truth we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Jesus. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to bring to light the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. But we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God, and not from us.
The word of the Lord. According to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you, it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is not the one seated at table. I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Listening to a special broadcast of excerpts of the recent ordinations at St. Joseph the Workman Cathedral in La Crosse, Wisconsin. This is where it gets personal.
Most Reverend Father, Holy Mother Church asks you to ordain these men, our brothers, to the responsibility of the priesthood. After inquiry among the Christian people and upon the recommendation of those concerned with their formation, I testify that they have been found worthy.
We choose these, our brothers, for the order of the priesthood.
Thanks be to God.
After extended lengthy applause, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse, Bishop William P. Callahan, speaks.
My dear brother priests, dear brothers, Stephen and Matthew, about to be ordained to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, dear brother deacons and religious, dear parents, family members, friends of the Ordinandi, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, lay faithful of the Diocese of La Crosse, praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
I welcome you to our beloved Cathedral of St. Joseph the Workman. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ, in the unity of his church, to celebrate the ordination to the priesthood of two of our brothers. The presence of all of you is so important in showing the relationship of the priesthood to the entire community of God's people. The presence of our priests is particularly important in showing the unity of the presbyterate of the Diocese of La Crosse. Our candidates for the priesthood understand that they are not alone. They exult today in the solidarity of the entire diocese. Those here present and those who are with us in spirit and those who are with us in prayer, including many contemplative religious who are interceding for our deacons even as this ceremony takes place. My dear sons, the joy that you bring to your families today is a sign of the joy that your ministry is meant to bring to the entire people of God. Brothers and sisters, these men, your relatives and friends, are now to be raised to the order of the priesthood. Consider carefully the position to which they are to be promoted in the church. It is true that God has made his entire people a royal priesthood in Christ. But our high priest, Jesus Christ, also chooses some of his followers to carry out publicly in the church a priestly ministry in his name on behalf of all humanity. Jesus was sent by the Father, and he in turn sent the apostles into the world. Through them and their successors, the bishops, he continues his work as teacher, priest, and shepherd. Priests are co-workers of the order of bishops. They are joined to the bishops in the priestly office and are called with them to serve God's people. Our brothers have seriously considered this step and are now ready to be ordained to the priesthood in the presbyteral order. They are to serve Christ the teacher, priest, and shepherd in his ministry, which is to make his own body, the church, grow into a people of God, a holy temple. They are called to share in the priesthood and to be molded into the likeness of Christ, the supreme and eternal priest. They are called to share in the supreme mandate that Christ has been given, and by consecration, they will be made true priests of the New Testament, to preach the gospel, sustain God's people, and above all, celebrate the liturgy, the Lord's service of sacrifice. My sons, you are now to be advanced to the order of the presbyterate. You must apply your energies to the duty of teaching in the name of Christ, the chief teacher. Share with all people the word of God that you have received with joy. Meditate on the law of God, believe what you read, teach what you believe, and put into practice what you teach. The doctrine you teach must be the true nourishment for the people of God. Let the example of your life attract followers to Christ. so that by word and action you may build up the house of God's church. In the same way, you must carry out your mission of sanctifying in the power of Christ. Your ministry will perfect the spiritual sacrifice of the faithful by uniting it with Christ's sacrifice, the sacrifice which is offered sacramentally through your hands. Know what you are doing and imitate the mystery you celebrate in the memorial of the Lord's death and resurrection. Make every effort to die to sin and to walk in the new life of Christ. When you baptize, you will bring men and women into the people of God. In the sacrament of penance, you will forgive the sins in the name of Christ and the church. With holy oil, you will relieve and console the sick. You will celebrate the liturgy and offer thanks and praise to God throughout the day, praying not only for the people of God, but for the whole world. Remember that you are chosen from among God's people, appointed to act for them in relation to God. Do your part in the work of Christ the priest with genuine joy and love and attention to the concerns of Christ before your own. Finally, conscious of the sharing in the work of Christ, the head and the shepherd of the church, united with me, the bishop of this local church, seek to bring the faithful together into a unified family and help them and lead them effectively to Christ and in the Holy Spirit to God the Father. Always remember the example of the Good Shepherd, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to seek out and rescue those who were lost. Dear sons, before you proceed to the order of the priesthood, you must declare before the people your resolve to undertake this office. Do you resolve to discharge unfailingly, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the office of the priesthood in the presbyteral rank, as trustworthy co-workers with the order of bishops in feeding the Lord's flock? Do you resolve to carry out the ministry of the word worthily and wisely in the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the Catholic faith?
I do.
Do you resolve to celebrate the mysteries of Christ reverently and faithfully according to the tradition of the church, especially in the sacrifice of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation, for the praise of God and the sanctification of the Christian people?
I do.
Do you resolve to implore with us the mercy of God for the people entrusted to you, with zeal for the commandments, and to pray without ceasing?
I do, with the help of God.
Do you resolve to be united more closely each day to Christ, the High Priest, who offered himself for us to the Father as a pure sacrifice, and with him to consecrate yourselves to God for the salvation of all?
I do, with the help of God.
May God, who has begun the good work in you, bring it to fulfillment. Let us pray, dearly beloved, to God, the Almighty Father, that he pour forth heavenly gifts in abundance on these his servants, whom he has chosen for the office of the priesthood.
Let us kneel.
Draw near, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, author of human dignity and bestower of all graces, through whom all things progress, through whom everything is made firm, who by the power of the Holy Spirit, in order to form a priestly people, establish among them ministers of Christ your Son in various orders. Already in the earlier covenant, there arose offices instituted by the mystical rites, so that when you had set Moses and Aaron over your people to govern and sanctify them, you chose men next in order and dignity to join them and assist them in their work. Thus in the desert, you instilled the spirit of Moses in the minds of 70 wise men. With them as helpers, he more easily governed your people. So too over the sons of Aaron, you poured an abundant share of their father's fullness, that the number of priests prescribed by the law might be sufficient for the sacrifice of the tabernacle, which were a shadow of the good things to come. But in these last days, Holy Father, you sent your Son into the world, Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Through the Holy Spirit, he offered himself unblemished to you and made his apostles, who were consecrated in the truth, sharers in his mission. To them you added companions to proclaim and carry out the work of salvation through the world. Now we pray, provide also for our weakness these helpers whom we need for the exercise of the apostolic priesthood. Grant, we pray, Almighty Father, to these your servants the dignity of the priesthood. Renew deep within them the spirit of holiness, that they hold the office second in order, received from you, O God, and by the example of their manner of life, may they inspire right conduct. May they be trustworthy co-workers with our order, so that by their preaching and through the grace of the Holy Spirit, the words of the gospel may bear fruit in human hearts and reach even to the ends of the earth. Together with us, may they be faithful stewards of your mysteries, so that your people may be renewed through the cleansing waters of rebirth and refreshed from your altar, so that sinners may be reconciled and the sick raised up. May they be joined to us, Lord, in imploring your mercy for the people entrusted to them and for the whole world. Thus, may the full number of the nations gathered together in Christ become your one people, brought to perfection in your kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. After that prayer, we skip ahead a bit to the point where Bishop Callahan anoints the hands of these young men who are becoming priests and then explains why he is doing it.
May the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, guard and preserve you, that you may sanctify the Christian people and offer sacrifice to God. Priests' hands are consecrated so that he may be conformed and pass on that conformity of Christ to us in the sacraments of the church, in the name and the power of Jesus. As the hands of the priest are consecrated, They are marked and signed with sacred chrism. It is one of only three sacraments in the church that chrism is used: baptism, confirmation, and the ordination of priests. The wrapping of the priest's hands is kind of a in-season and out-of-season kind of thing that goes on, I guess, from bishop to bishop. I've used it for every single ordination that I have done, and it reminds us, of course, that when he was born, Mother Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes. When he was taken down from the cross, his body was wrapped in linen garments and placed in the arms of his mother. So too, the opportunity for us to remember such things becomes a profound symbol within the church. And so the priest's hands are signed and wrapped in what is called a monoturgium, a wrapping of the hands. The pious custom is that this monoturgium is then given to the priest's mother, so that when she dies, it can go into her casket in her hands, and then when she goes to heaven, she can present it to St. Peter and to our Blessed Lord, and be able to say to him, "Then I gave you a priest." And that's a big deal. And no, I'm not going to say it all over again for Stephen. May the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, guard and protect you, guard and preserve you, that you may sanctify the Christian people and offer sacrifice to God. Receive the oblation of the holy people to be offered to God. Understand what you do, imitate what you celebrate, and conform your life to the mystery of the Lord's cross.
Then one of the most spectacular, beautiful moments in the ordination occurs as each of the existing priests of the Diocese of La Crosse approaches the newly ordained and embraces them as a brother and helps them be vested into their priestly clothes. This takes quite a bit of time. There's some music for it, and also it is just this show of unity that is really, really gorgeous to see. And of course, you can see the entire ordination, if you wish, by going to YouTube and looking up Diocese of La Crosse. But let's listen to some of the music and imagine this scene going on.
Brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. O God, who have willed that your priests should minister at the holy altar and serve your people, grant by the power of this sacrifice, we pray, that the labors of your servants may constantly please you, and in your church here bear that fruit which lasts forever, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bow down for the blessing.
May God, who founded the Church and guides her still, protect you constantly with his grace, that you may faithfully discharge the duties of the priesthood.
Amen.
May he make you servants and witnesses in the world to divine charity and truth, and faithful ministers of reconciliation. May he make you true shepherds to provide the living bread and word of life to the faithful, that they may continue to grow in the unity of the body of Christ.
Thank you.
You've been listening to extended excerpts from the recent ordination at St. Joseph the Workman Cathedral in the Diocese of La Crosse with Bishop William P. Callahan, the main celebrant. We'll be back with some final comments after this. Before we move on to another topic, first, I want to thank the folks at the Communications Department at the Diocese of La Crosse, which is not a gigantic group of hundreds of people. It's a handful of people who work very, very hard and very, very overtime, especially at times like ordination, to bring you the sights and sounds and to make sure that everybody has the correct information on the website as to when it's going to happen and what's going to go on and where parking will be and all these things that help make the experience more pleasant for you. This does not come cheap. Actually, it does come cheap because, frankly, they do a lot of work for free and they do an awful lot of work, but it does cost money. Quite some time ago, they came to me and they said, Jack, we need your advice on getting a really decent wireless microphone, something we can clip on the bishop so that he always sounds good in the cathedral or wherever else he happens to be, and we can tap into it and record him. Well, I did some research on it, and quite frankly, you had to spend about, oh, I would say back then, at least $500 for a good microphone to really make it work. And we tested it in the diocesan center. I went down to a hallway, and they went quite a ways away, and I was amazed at how good this microphone was. It picked up everything. It sounded like you were in a studio. Well, okay, you say, gee, Jack, $500? They have been using that microphone for more than 10 years. That's $50 a year. To bring much higher quality audio that I use for this show and that other people can hear more clearly wherever the bishop or some other important speaker happens to be. I mention this because there have been so many new demands for media in the past 10 years, things we never dreamed of a few years ago. And it does cost money. It doesn't have to be overly expensive because they are very frugal at the Diocesan Center. But next time you get a note from the bishop about the bishop's annual appeal, keep that microphone in mind. Somebody had to pay for it, and it was probably you. But look at the service that it has given us for more than 10 years. Jack Zoshi with you. I hope you enjoyed this particular special edition of Connecting the Diocese. 4th of July is coming up on Monday. Maybe you got the day off, maybe you don't. But whatever you're doing, I hope you stay safe. And a couple of important notes. We still have a number of veterans throughout the entire country who are suffering from post-traumatic stress. And for some of them, sudden loud explosions, continuing explosions, can really set them off. So please be careful. If you see any one of your neighbors who's experiencing some difficulties, please be gentle with them, talk to them, and if necessary, get some help. Also, if you have pets outside, sometimes it's a good idea to lock them up inside because occasionally one of them just can't handle it and runs away. And sometimes it's hard to find them again. So have a safe 4th. I'll catch you next week on Connecting the Diocese.